The Bay Area is known for inspiring and supporting talent in many fields. For instance, local comedians Nato Green and W. Kamau Bell have been cracking up the Bay for years with a comedy tour called Laughter Against the Machine.
Does anybody else like me, we have a secret hope that the economy tanks bad enough that Native Americans pull all that casino money together and buy the land back and ship us all back to wherever the hell we think we came from? All you white people say, I'm from Ireland, but I don't know anybody in Ireland. I never met anybody in Ireland. I just like St. Patrick's Day. I don't even speak Irish. How do you speak Irish?
Recently, their act caught the attention of producer Chris Rock and landed them a new show called Totally Biased on the FX network. One of the writers for the show is Bell's longtime collaborator and comic, Nato Green.
My wife and I are a typical San Francisco couple. We recycle. We are into light bondage. And our safe word is Zinfandel. I drive a Prius. I would honk at protests and support when I drive by, except if you drive a Prius, the honk is implied.
Their comedic style is rooted in the Bay Area.
A Prius honk just sounds like...
With topics ranging from the workers at Trader Joe's union actions and personal stories of resistance. Aside from working on a TV show, Green has a new comedy album out, and he came by the studio to talk about it with KALW's Ben Trefney.
So you draw some of your material from some of your history as an activist. Tell me a little bit about that and where you end up drawing your material from.
I grew up on the left. My parents were activists when I was a kid. I actually, walked a picket line probably 100 feet from where we're sitting now in 1978 when the teachers went on strike. And then when I got out of college, I decided I wanted to be a union activist. I went and got a job at Noah's Bagels and got fired and learned how to lose, which is an important lesson. And then spent several years as a car messenger, or unionizing the biking car messengers with the longshoremen, and then co-founded Young Workers United, which still exists, the country's first worker center for young and immigrant workers in the low-wage service sector.
So while you were doing this activism and organization, were you working on comedy? How did you turn to comedy? Because, I mean, when one thinks of union organizers, I don't think they usually think about ha-ha.
Absolutely. I do feel like, As a left wing, Jewish kid from San Francisco, growing up in an intellectual family, there are two career options ahead of you, which are comedy and revolution. And being ambitious, I on some level chose both. I have always been a fan of comedy. I grew up in San Francisco during the comedy boom of the 80s, and was really. I started hanging out at Cobb's Comedy Club when I was 12.
What was that, like Robin Williams and Whoopi Goldberg?
Well, those folks were already the stars of comedy. I mean, the people that I got to see coming up were like Greg Proops and Greg Barrett and Margaret Cho and Arj Barker and Tom Kenny and Paula Poundstone and Jake Johansson. And it was just, in those days, you'd go to Comedy Day in the park and there would be 50,000 people there. And initially I thought, oh, I'm just going to go down to the open mic and get it out of my system. And then I got the bug. And, it was about 9 months from when I first started doing comedy to when one of my shows that I was producing got on the cover of 96 Hours and I was selling out the Makeout Room. And partly it was that my activist skills helped my comedy because... once you know how to get 1,000 people to go on strike, getting 100 people to come to a comedy show is not that hard. And longshoremen are big. I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're f***ing big. Like, they have elephantitis of the self. And so they stepped. We see it coming. We see the line of riot police. And the longshoremen just stepped into the street, started walking towards the riot police, and the police ran away. This is an important lesson that I want you to remember. When you're dealing with the police, size matters. It is no time to be a vegan. You need to bulk up, have some ribs and carbo load and a Red Bull. Some of these are jokes and some of these are tips for revolution. I just want you to take heed.
All right, that's Nato Green from the Nato Green Party. You mentioned that your union activism, that taught you, it helped you learn how to lose. And I can imagine that in your early days as a stand-up comedian, and you have an audience who may be skeptical or jokes may be falling flat or something like that, that you really have to develop a strong, thick skin. I think it's interesting about your career at this point that you drew upon this combination of experiences.
I feel like I might be a bit of a masochist. I like big risks and big projects that have a chance of making some significant impact and influencing people, but where there's more losing than winning, and where you get knocked pretty hard. And definitely, show business has at every level, from the open mic to the biggest, I feel like show business is sort of engineered to constantly reopen wounds from high school. You're just continually in this moment of am I in? Am I out? Who likes me?
Very vulnerable.
Where do I rank? Do they like me when they say they like me? Are they telling the truth? Am I being left out of anything? And so there's a part of me that's like, hold on, I am a grown man, and I've been through some stuff in my life. I don't have to put up with this. Oh, this feels like prom, So it's sort of tricky to navigate that, but I also feel like having been involved in political fights and organizing battles that have actual stakes to them, where people's livelihoods are on the line and their health care is for their families on the line, it's made me much more able to deal with sort of inherent intrigue and ebbs and flows of trying to be a comic.
That's Nato Green. He has a new comedy CD called The Nato Green Party. Let's go ahead and listen to another clip of that. And this one reflects some of the influence, I think, of your Bay Area roots in your comedy.
I don't know if you realize this, but out there in the heartland of America, there are people preparing for war. They are learning how to shoot machine guns and live on eating ants. And we are not ready for that. They're getting ready for war. We are getting ready for brunch. Do you see the distinction I'm trying to draw for you? I'm concerned. We are not going to be able to defend freedom and democracy and tolerance with sun salutations. When they come marching into the cities from their hamlets and dales, the little towns of Miller's Outpost and Not Reading and Incest, California, or wherever the f*** they're from, with their burning torches and Uzis, we can't be like, hang on, we need to limber up. You can't kick down a door with Uggs. I hope everyone realizes that Warrior One is not an actual combat position.
That's Nato Green from the Nato Green Party. Well, right now, you're clearly on an upswing. I mean, you've got this show you're writing for with your buddy W. Kamau Bell. It's executive produced by Chris Rock, who's a long-established comic, a real name in the business. How's it been to work with him?
Chris is amazing. There's nobody, he's, how often do you get to spend time with someone who is generally agreed to be one of the greatest of all time? So it's been really, for me thus far, a really interesting learning curve to translate writing for my own voice to both writing for Kamau and writing for television. It's in terms of what I can assume that the audience will know and understand, and how much time I have to convey an idea. And so, I've been really working hard to figure out how to preserve the integrity of the kind of approach to comedy that Kamau and I developed.
When they could change the channel, they don't have to leave the theater.
So that's been, the biggest learning experience. And, and Chris Rock just has a real strong vision. I mean, he's not is encouraging us to push ourselves to come up with perspectives on things that no one else is doing in comedy, and take risks that that will make people uncomfortable. And if we pull it off, having mostly a group of unknown comics from San Francisco ride Chris Rock's coattail to having a series on FX that is as smart and hard-hitting and funny as we have been trying to be for all these years, we'll have, it'll be a miracle, and it'll be the exception that proves the rule, and we'll feel like we cheated the system.